Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. About to be a wet one, it surely appears. I mean, we had some rain earlier. It stopped. It was actually pretty nice. Good bit during the day. I got some things done outside. But now it has started and looks like we're going to get some rain through the night into tomorrow. And it's definitely going to affect football. It's going to affect high school football tonight. Going to affect quite a bit of college football tomorrow. I know one game, the LSU-South Carolina game, I mean, it's a near 100% chance of rain. They're expecting it to really be sloppy. Don't really know by 6:30 tomorrow. Hopefully the rain will have moved out, because it is a much more interesting game now for sure than people had thought, between Auburn and New Mexico, with word. Multiple sites have been reporting through the day, I believe J.G. Tate was the first one that said a change could be coming. That Justin Hokanson wrote that his sources said, and now every media outlet, and it has now moved to ESPN, is reporting that Auburn will start Hank Brown at quarterback tomorrow against New Mexico.
Auburn hoping that, as Sheryl Crow once sang, a change will do some good, right? You know, thinking maybe the offense. With a new face at quarterback. And Bill, you had been advocating, and again, not talking about anything permanent.
No,
but you'd been advocating for Hank Brown to start Saturday or be the first quarterback out there on Saturday, if the plan was to get Hank first team reps early in the game.
And it's not that I'd been advocating for Hank Brown to be the starter over Peyton Thorne, but if you want to get a good look at Hank Brown, I felt. Him running with the first unit against New Mexico, especially New Mexico after a week off. They've had time to try to prepare for Auburn. I think you'll get a much fairer assessment of Hank Brown if you see him with the best against the best that the opposition has to offer. And it appears that's what we will get as we welcome in our coach, Coach Don Dunn, our pit boss coach, if you will. But Don, how you doing today?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I'd love to get your thoughts on this week situation.
Yeah, what a week it's been. You know, I haven't been on since last Friday, and very disappointing for everyone, as you guys have talked about all week, and had a very interesting show, especially Monday. I was sitting back listening with my wife thinking, and I think I'd text you, Bill.
You did.
Some days I miss this job, but this day I don't. But anyway, a couple things. Number one, I would have started the starter and let him go on maybe two series and then put the young kid in. That's my own opinion, which doesn't amount to anything. And I would hope, and I don't know how it leaked out, that New Mexico did not know that we were going to make a change. But, you know, it's hard to keep that stuff quiet nowadays.
Well, I'll say this, though. Until today, it was sheer speculation.
Right, it was. It was quiet. But it's going to be interesting. We should be able to, you hope, run the ball. And that's another thing I worried about last week. I thought we should have ran the ball more, but it's easy for me to be sitting at home watching it and then coaching it. And I think we have to establish the run. And the one thing I'm really concerned about, we got to get some turnovers. Mm-hmm. Do we have any?
No, not yet. Not in two games. Boy, Auburn should have had one last week, and it could have been a game-changing turnover, but it didn't happen.
Right.
So
we got to get that corrected. There's, you guys have talked all week, been very, very good. Great calls, a lot of observation. It's tough when you lose, guys. It's nothing good about it. I'm telling you, it's miserable. It's miserable for the coaches, the fans, the players. It's just a terrible taste, and I'm telling you.
I imagine that you'd rather, especially a couple days later, you'd rather look at a game like Cal where there were a handful of plays, and if one of them goes Auburn's way, maybe it's a different outcome on offense and defense. You'd rather be reacting to that than a 28-plus point blanking at home that calls into question your ability to truly compete. I don't know if you came away from the Cal game thinking, this is an Auburn team that can't compete.
No, I sure didn't.
Yeah. Not at all.
But there are teams, unfortunately, that have suffered losses already this season that call into question, you know, whether or not they're going to be able to be competitive against not even the best teams on their schedule, but like Kentucky,
the
middle of the pack of their schedule.
That blew my mind.
Yeah. Kentucky and Florida
dominated
are probably the two.
Dominated at home.
Yes. And a big home crowd and all that talk. And, you know, I got a lot of buddies up there. And they're not happy. The natives are restless. And, you know, he tried to go to A&M, I guess, last year. I didn't know all that. And I guess they turned him down to the midnight hour. But, yeah, you're right. No, I think Auburn, a couple plays. And, you know, Cal's not a bad football team, guys. They don't beat themselves. And the quarterback is pretty good.
They are a well-coached team.
And when you don't get a turnover, that's tough. And we had, five?
Yes.
So
five could have been six.
Yes. Yeah.
There are a couple coaches in college football where, you know, it's probably unlikely that they're going to be able to mount a real challenge for conference championships or a national championship at their current location, but I think they're pretty good coaches. And I think Justin Wilcox at Cal is probably on that list, watching the way his defense reacted after Auburn went down. I mean, that first drive had you thinking Auburn was you know, it was about to be a career day for Peyton Thorne in a good way.
Yeah,
like it was. You know, you start that drive with three or four of Auburn's better passing plays of the whole game, and you're thinking, oh, and credit. Absolutely, some of the credit goes to Cal for changing whatever they changed after the first drive and a half, and saying, you know, we're not gonna let Auburn beat us with deep stuff over the top. You gotta try something else. And yeah, I think Hank Brown. I mean, it's hard to overstate, right? Crucial couple of first couple of drives for him tomorrow.
Well, this is an opportunity I'm sure he's been dreaming of. His whole life.
Yep.
And now he has it. I mean, it's against a team that through its first two ball games has really struggled defensively.
Yes.
I'm sure New Mexico has done everything they can to try to patch up the problems, but they've given up almost 600 yards a game and nearly 50 points a game in their first two games.
Yes, and so, not big-time opponents.
No. So, I mean, this should, you know, appears to be an opportunity for Hank Brown to be able to step in and have some success. Yeah. I mean, in limited time, he's only played at the end of the bowl game last year and in the third quarter of the Alabama A&M game. And for his career, he's 10 of 14 – three touchdowns and about 125, 130 yards passing.
Do you think, because we speculated about this a little bit on the show, I don't know what kind of role this plays in the decision as to who's actually out there at quarterback, but do you think, Coach, you just made reference to restless natives in Kentucky. Do you think restlessness around the Auburn program at all, or the belief as to how Hank Brown or Peyton Thorne could be received by the fan base on Saturday? Do you think that plays?
Maybe the latter. I don't think just grumbling from fans is gonna change Hugh Freeze's idea. I do think, you know, it was interesting when he talked about sitting down with the quarterbacks Monday and then watching them practice. Haven't really, you know, I don't know how everything went. But
You did not get to
see
very much Tuesday's
practice. We saw 10 minutes of practice on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Hank must have had a good week of practice. Mm-hmm. And Hugh Freeze has talked about the things he really likes about Hank Brown. And you mentioned this the other day, Dan. I mean, one of the first things he's always said about Peyton Thorne is not turning the ball over. When Peyton goes out and turns
decision making.
Yes, when he goes out, decision making, and that includes not turning the ball over. When he goes out and apparently makes incorrect decisions and turned the ball over four or five times, then I think you feel like, well, we've got to give the other guy a shot. Peyton has been, and I don't doubt it, and because my eyes have seen Peyton as the best player in practice. I mean, he has been every time we've seen it. That's what we've heard from the coaches. That's what we've heard from everyone.
But if Peyton were, if Peyton Thorne, I don't mean to because I've wanted to see it work with Peyton Thorne for
sure.
A year and
I have to.
If Peyton Thorne were a more overwhelming physical presence as a quarterback, if this were a guy taking over games like RG3 or Tebow or, you know what I mean? Like if Lamar Jackson, if he was doing stuff like that, then maybe a couple of bad decisions could be overlooked because you have the game-breaking ability all the time. But something we'd heard all offseason about Thorne was that he was – I mean, I remember an extension of the coaching staff, I believe was how Coach Nix described the offseason Peyton Thorne had had. You know, he's an extension of the coaching staff out there. If it's going haywire to the extent it went haywire against Cal, that does sort of force the hand – of the coaching staff to see what somebody else can do, because what was supposed to be one of Peyton Thorne's superpowers, right? Like one of the things that is a clear reason he's out there is the decision making. You know, it's the ability to make quick, correct decisions. Like Jason pointing out that in an era of Pat Mahomes, all this Auburn team, and you say like it's easy, but all this Auburn team needs
is Brock Purdy.
Is a Brock Purdy esque, you know, just a top 10, top 12 guy.
But he wouldn't consider that.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. And that, you know, just a, you know, it's someone to push the correct buttons, right? An engineer rather than, a fighter pilot or somebody who's going to be taking a lot of risks and doing a lot that can pay huge dividends, but can also. End in wreckage. So, yeah, I think that's seeing what kind of decision making Hank Brown can do.
Yeah, that's what's going to be interesting tomorrow, because what we've heard about Hank is he's more of a gunslinger. He's a guy. He's not afraid to go for big plays. Try to squeeze the ball in and into tight areas, which at times, you know, can result in turnovers.
Yeah.
But I think, if he can make decisions quickly, get the ball out, that's the other thing that Jason said the other day. And from down on the field, he was talking about being on the field. He couldn't see some of the things we could see in the box where we could see receivers. But he did see that it appeared receivers would be starting to break open. The ball should be there, and then Peyton
late.
Would throw it.
It was late, right.
And so so we will see. I mean, it's a great opportunity for Hank Brown. We, you know, love to hear from you, our listeners, as to, you know, what you're looking forward to, what you expect to see tomorrow. Now, I do wonder if it rains a lot. We've talked about the fact that Auburn has not run the ball very much in the first two ball games. Does Auburn run it more tomorrow? And I wonder how that's going to sit with fans. If Auburn comes out and can just run the ball all over New Mexico, are you going to know what to expect from Hank Brown?
With Hank Brown in the game, though, boy, if you're New Mexico, you're overplaying the run tomorrow, aren't you?
I would sure think.
With a backup quarterback in the game?
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, you've been on the other side of this, coach.
Right. Yeah, you got to prepare for the run with a new quarterback, especially if the weather's bad. I mean, that's common sense. But I also think if he's the guy, they'll crank up something for him, too. Maybe some exotic blitzes and things. Their coach is a good coach, the head coach. They just can't stop anybody right now.
Bronco, yeah.
Yeah, he's been around.
No kidding.
And, you know, going back to the Cal head coach, you know,
won a lot of games at BYU.
Yes, right. He sure did.
UVA was sort of up and down, although I think he had a really good season at UVA as well.
Yeah, I definitely remember him winning a lot of games at BYU.
And back to the Cal coach, remember last Friday we talked, he had SEC experience.
Yes, indeed.
But I was very impressed with him and after the game, very, you know, humble. And they did a good job, really good job defensively.
And that'll be really interesting, too. If they blitz Hank Brown, that's one thing. You know that Peyton Thorne is the most athletic, the best runner of the Auburn quarterbacks.
I think he's the leading rusher for us.
He may be.
I think. I could be wrong.
We're just getting underway here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, Don Dunn here in the studio.
Nick Howell, the DC at New Mexico, first year, you know, part of that new mm-hmm. staff. He was Vanderbilt's DC last year. So he's somebody who saw Auburn's offense.
Well, you saw where Vandy also, I mean, New Mexico also has a former Auburn defensive lineman on the team, Garrison Walker. Huh, Gary Walker's right. son is on New Mexico.
I didn't know that.
So we're just getting underway. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can text us on the Drive text box. That's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
334-564-1840 to get in touch with the Drive via the text box. Southeastern Industrial Contractors also sponsors the podcast, mm-hmm. available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get to your calls because we've got a couple already in. I wanted to let you know, all right, I have just – I mentioned this yesterday. If you're interested in going to the ball game tomorrow, I've got an extra pair of tickets, so you can call in and we'll see if we can't get you set up for tomorrow. 6:30 kick, Auburn and New Mexico. That means the airtime will be 1:30 for game day on Wings. And then 3:30 for the Auburn Network. We'll get to our first break here on the Friday Drive. Come on in and join us.
When bones get out of joint, or vice versa.
Yardage on the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and it's Friday afternoon. I thought he might be busy, but we're pleased that we were able to catch up with our good friend Barrett Salee over in Atlanta. Barrett, how you doing, man?
I'm good. You caught up with me about 10 minutes before I leave to go to Truist Park to watch what I hope is not the Braves getting their tail.
Hey, what's the weather like over there? It's starting to rain here, and looks like it's not going to stop for a while.
Yeah, it's fine for now, but I don't think that's going to stay. Yeah.
I'm in touch.
Maybe that'll force the Dodgers to forget who they are for a little while.
Barrett, I'm in communication with Braves season ticket holder Justin Ferguson about maybe going to Monday's game and checking out Yamamoto, who I'd like to see pitch. I believe it's Yamamoto Freed on Monday.
It's supposed to be the stated
matchup. I think it'd be really cool to see who he was.
Well, you know what, Justin Ferguson needs to get his act together because he's got Auburn stuff to take care of.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, he struggled. I don't believe he's been to a Braves game that they've won yet. This year. So
has he really? He's not been one that. That's no, well, just well, poor adulting.
Well, I mean, well, he's splitting season tickets with the guy from
with Jordan. Yeah, Jordan Hill. He knows Jordan.
Jordan.
Yeah, sure. They're splitting the season tickets. Seems like every time that Ferg goes, the Braves lose. But that's been more often. Recently,
I believe Jordan has disclosed that he is in a house divided situation with his Dodger fan wife. So they'll be using those tickets this weekend.
Well, that's sort of like Dan's relationship with Ferg, since
similar enough. But Barrett,
we might as well talk a little football.
Barrett, some big news coming out of the Auburn program in the last day or so coming out of Saturday's disappointing home loss to Cal. Auburn looking for answers, and it seems like they're going to kick the tires on the backup quarterback.
Yeah, you know, obviously it was bandied about. Monday, I think it was pretty clear that Hugh was sort of headed in this direction. And look, I said from the get-go, like, look, you either make the change or you say, all right, Peyton, you get the start. Hank, you get the third series of six. So, like, everybody's on the same page, so it's not a shock. So, you know, this is another instance of this. You know, everyone's on the same page. They know the drill. So it's almost like the reverse Josh Dobbs with Peyton Thorne, right? Because Josh Dobbs was a terrible practice quarterback and a gamer. Peyton Thorne, apparently, from what you said, is a great practice quarterback, but not a gamer. I think it's fair to go send somebody else out and say, all right, look, you know, what can you do? Here's the ball. Let's roll it out there and see what happens. I'd be fascinated to see if this comes along with a little bit more continuity with the rushing attack, because it did at times, to me anyway, seem like Hugh called plays to try to get Peyton Thorne to throw himself out of a funk, and that clearly did not work. So, it'll be interesting. And New Mexico, you know, it's not a great team, but you know they've got some players who can get the job done, especially at running back.
And Devin Dampierre, the quarterback's got 600 yards total offense in a couple of games, and nearly averaging 90 yards on the ground as well. So that'll be a challenge for the Auburn defense. The Auburn New Mexico game obviously was a shock last week, but nothing compared to that Kentucky South Carolina debacle in Lexington.
Man, it was. I thought it would be the exact opposite. I thought it would be Kentucky just wiping the floor with South Carolina. I did not think that South Carolina's defensive front would just go kick Kentucky's line, offensive line in the teeth consistently for 60 minutes. That was the furthest thing from my mind. That's credit to South Carolina. They earned the national spotlight this week. I'm going to be fascinated to see what they can do against the LSU offensive line, which honestly, like, we all touted LSU's offensive line before the season. It's been okay. In pass protection, it's been fine, but rushing the ball, they haven't been opening any holes for those running backs. So this South Carolina team, I'm still not sold on Lenora Sellers, but that defense is legit, especially that with Kennard and Dylan Stewart up front. So I can't wait to see that one. It's one of those things where people have asked me to pick that game all week, and I'm just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean,
the weather involved too, like what can you do? Like, it's just almost impossible to get a gauge on it.
And usually you would think the weather, the weather usually favors the underdog. 11 o'clock, those early kicks usually favor the road team, but I would think bad weather might favor South Carolina and Sellers.
Well, LSU's a team that might want to throw the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, I would think.
In good weather.
I think they feel better about throwing the ball with Nuss.
They
haven't been able to run the football anyway, so... Yeah, and Lenore Sellers, like, look, dual threat guy. He knows where he's going. He can take advantage of a slippery track and get some DBs out of position. So I tend to agree. I think it definitely helps South Carolina. But man, what a win for Shane Beamer last week. And if he can get this one, I mean, that's just after all that he went through in terms of the noise in the offseason from the outside, to prove everybody wrong would be pretty awesome for him.
No, nobody had them at 3-0. Nobody had South Carolina starting the season 3-0, and the thought that they could do that would be a huge. I mean, it'd be one of the more surprising 3-0 starts in college football this season. I'll tell you who else would be pretty surprising at 3-0 would be Boston College. They're going to Missouri this weekend.
Big underdogs
over 2-touchdown underdog in Como, but Bill O'Brien has already pulled off one shocker on the road, beating Florida State in Tallahassee. And they look sharp. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull off the upset, but I like what he's doing so far.
Yeah, I do too. Missouri's defense has been awesome, but they ain't seen anything like Thomas Castellano. I mean, that dude is a stud.
You mean Gus Malzahn signee out of high school? Thomas Castellanos, he was the UCF kid from it's like suburban Atlanta,
I'm interested to see, because you know the defense from Missouri has been awesome. They're getting Norfleet back, or at least according to the availability report. It's going to be a much closer game than I think the odds makers in Vegas are thinking, unless there's something we don't know about. I think Boston College is getting slept on. I think they got slept on before the Florida State game. They're still, you know, I think they proved it pretty good. And then, I mean, now in this one, to be nearly 17-point underdogs against Missouri, I know Missouri played well, but, I mean, that's they ain't that good, I don't think. But, yeah, that should be a fun one. That's like one of the more underrated games of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't a lot of just wow games, but there's some that are really interesting, including Gainesville, where Texas A&M goes in there, and that's another one. I really don't know what to expect.
We called that the A&M Florida an intervention game yesterday, talking to Pascal Barrett, because that's one of those where you feel you feel real strongly about that one. I don't know what to tell you, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think for you know, with Connor Wegman questionable, that kind of popped out. Those availability reports are great because you know Connor's name was on there. It's like, oh, really? Oh, that changes things. So with both those teams, just offensively, are just awful. So I think it'll be ugly. If I was Florida, I would start DJ Lagway, and Billy Napier can sit there and say, look, this is my dude. He's going to have some highs. He's going to have some lows. But this is the vision of the future. If you like it, keep me around. I think that's what is going to play out. And, you know, honestly, with Connor Wegman, even if he's questioned, even if he plays, like, I've not been impressed with him. He looks like he's hesitant. That leg injury is still something that he's thinking about. Whether it hurts or not, I don't know. But it's something that's affecting him. I don't know, man. Like, that's a – intervention game, I think, is the right one, because if you invest in that game, you've got to be out of your damn mind.
And then are the Kentucky fans going to – I mean, are they really just like, let's talk nothing but basketball?
It's hoops.
After last week at home and then Georgia's coming into their place, there's no way this thing isn't ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Georgia's going to be threatened at all. I just think that they're going to be vanilla. They're going to not do anything creative whatsoever. They know Brock Vandegrift, and they saw the tape. Yeah. They understand what he's good at and what he's not good at. He wasn't very good at anything last week. So, it's going to get ugly. I would be surprised if Georgia lets them get to double digits. That's just if you're not going to be tough up front at Kentucky, you're basically taking the one edge that Kentucky generally has, and that's, beating you in the trenches, and you don't even have that. So, Yeah, that's going to get ugly really, really quickly.
No, you got to head over to a Truist here in just a little bit. It's a crazy weekend because I guess Braves fans should be pulling for the Phils.
Yeah, I feel dirty saying that.
That's tough, isn't it? I mean, because that's who the Mets have got. I mean, the Braves need to – I mean, Braves are behind the Mets, who have just been pretty close to amazing.
I would imagine the Braves fans are just hoping the Braves can keep their side of the street clean and then worry about other things
later on.
Hope the
Phils and Mets both lose. Yeah.
Forward, but I feel ill having to cheer for the Phillies. That doesn't sound good.
No, no kidding. Barrett, man, we appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. Let everybody know how you can keep up with your many different places where you've got irons in the fire.
Yeah, you can subscribe to College Football Smothered and Covered on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, all those places. We'll recap on SiriusXM, myself and Tom Luganville on Sunday morning. I got a predictions piece up at Outkick, so all over the place. So we'll have everything covered tomorrow night on Smothered and Covered as well.
Sounds good, Barrett. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, y'all. See ya.
Barrett Salee joining us as he does on Fridays. Appreciate that he had a little bit of time here. We will get to your phone calls when we come back. Love to hear your thoughts on the news that Auburn making a change at quarterback for the New Mexico game and anything else as we continue with the Friday Drive. O'clock. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. And let's get to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And who we got, Dan?
Chase on the line.
Hey, Chase. Chase, you there?
Hello?
Hey, there we go. We got you.
Hey, I was calling about some free tickets from me and my mother.
Well, I've got a pair. I was gonna see if I could get a little something for them. But I'll tell you what. If you want to, if you can hang on for a little bit when we get to break, we'll see what we can do.
All right.
Yeah, I have a pair of tickets that I didn't realize I'd have an extra pair of. I'm not looking to make a lot of money or anything.
But this is entirely your deal.
Yeah, I know.
Don and I are looking at each other.
Whatever you want, bud.
We're not stepping into your negotiation.
I was gonna offer him to Don.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, I'm just gonna let folks know I had a pair of tickets.
Hold on the line for us, Chase, and Bill will talk to you.
We'd love to get your thoughts about the word, because it hasn't been an announcement. I mean, Auburn's not going to announce that they're making a change at any position.
Well, what's the old magic eight ball, right? This one feels like
all signs point to yes.
Yeah, that's right.
That Hank Brown will be the starter tomorrow. And Hank, I mean, what a story for Hank Brown. He was headed to Liberty to play for Hugh Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Played for Trent Dilfer at high school there in Nashville.
Current UAB coach.
Put up some really, really good numbers there. Not playing in the largest classification in Tennessee.
You know who Dilfer's got tomorrow, by the way?
He's got Arkansas.
He's got Auburn's opponent next Saturday. So Hank Brown's
Arkansas will stomp UAB tomorrow.
Hank Brown's first if Hank Brown holds on to the job, Hank Brown's first conference game as Auburn quarterback will be against the team that his high school coach is playing tomorrow. Arkansas taking on UAB. They're in Fayetteville. Yeah, tough start to the season for UAB.
Yeah, no kidding.
Facing the former UAB coach now at ULM and taking the wrong end of that one.
Yeah,
but of course, continuing with the Hank Brown story, after Hugh Freeze came to Auburn, Auburn offered Hank. Hank committed, came in, redshirted last year, get into the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Was, I believe, 7-9 in the bowl game there against Maryland, and has worked his way up to the number two spot, the number two quarterback heading into the season. And now he's going to get his first shot at starting. So I mean, great story for Hank Brown. I mean, we will see how things go for him tomorrow against New Mexico tomorrow evening at 6:30. Back to the phones we go, and Jay is up next. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Good. I'm calling you from way over the shadows of Sanford Stadium near Athens, Georgia.
That's good.
It's rough being an Auburn man over here.
I'm sure.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, listen, I'm not an expert. Just calling in just to give an opinion that's worth nothing more than the airwaves that it's on. I'm a longtime higher level high school football coach, been an offensive coordinator, and matter of fact, just retired after 36 years. And I'd like to throw my thoughts out there on the quarterback situation. Having been an offensive coordinator and having to coach the quarterbacks all these years, it's a different animal, as we all know, and it's not anywhere near as simple as what kind of decision he made on 4th-and-2 that probably wasn't even his decision, or maybe it was just his decision. There's a lot that goes into it, and you guys all know that. What I'm bringing to the table is, man, an entire off season of hanging our hat on one guy, knowing that that's going on inside the buildings too, and then, you know, he had a bad game, I mean, for all intents and purposes, and now, so what's going to happen? What's this going to turn into? We're playing a team that we should beat.
Right.
And a team that you and me may be able to go out there and have a good game at quarterback at as well. And he's going to go have a decent game, I'm guessing, because he's a pretty dang good quarterback. And then he gets into the Arkansas game where the bullets are a little heavier. And let's say he trips up and he makes a bad decision, he throws a pick, or let's just say he flat out just plays poorly. And now where are we? And that was the struggle I had for all those years with coaching quarterbacks. And you had to be careful with it. And there were some years that the entire football season for the program I was coaching with just was totally in the tank because of a decision I made at who to go with at quarterback. You know, I was talking to my son earlier today who coached the last 10 years or so with me before I retired. And he said, Dad, you know, it's like you've said, if an older quarterback like Peyton Thorne is pretty much equal in talent to a younger quarterback like Hank Brown, which for all intents and purposes, maybe they are pretty much equal in talent, go with the younger guy. And you'll have to have some egg on your face at some point because you're going to lose a game because you've got a freshman quarterback. But I'm not saying that to mean that we shouldn't have had Peyton as the number one guy to begin with. I'm not saying we should have had Hank to begin with. I'm saying, wow, what are we going to do when things level out like they will against good opponents, like an Arkansas is better than a New Mexico,
and then Oklahoma is better than Arkansas.
That's and that leads.
And then Georgia is much better than Oklahoma. Your competition steps up dramatically each of the next few weeks.
See, I've been down that road with high school quarterbacks, and I'm not a college coach. I'm not claiming to be any guru or an expert. I'm just saying, for 36 years, I've been in the arena of coaching upper level high school football, and so I've been down this road, and it is a tough one. And I guess I'm just throwing out my thoughts. I'm not saying what should have happened or what ought to happen or this, that, and the other. I'm saying, man, what a tough road to hoe if this doesn't go well tomorrow, or if it doesn't go well the next week, because now we're talking about, you know, your radio program being filled with listeners who are talking about what, you know, what's going on behind closed doors and losing the team and all of those things that come along with it.
I'll tell you the other thing that was outstanding stuff. I mean, that was so much information. Was wonderful. I would say one thing I would add to that of you know, what makes it more difficult is if the Hank Brown experiment doesn't provide promising results. I've had people tell me this week, even if Peyton Thorne wasn't replaced in the offseason, you probably should not have gone into a season where your backup quarterback is as inexperienced as pick whoever the next quarterback is, whether it's Hank or Holden.
There are an awful lot of teams that are in that situation, though, because in the days of the transfer portal, it's tough to have two experienced quarterbacks with one of them knowing that they're not going to be the guy.
Although I do wonder if teams are in this kind of where they only have one quarterback on the team who's ever made a start in college football. I wonder how many teams are in that kind. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I mean, I also think, like, you know, South Carolina went out and got Robbie Ashford as a backup quarterback. Like, there are, you know, not advocating for, but I'm saying, like, I mean, Cal went and got, you know, a guy who'd bounced around, you know, North Texas and ULM to like, I think there's, again, not to say that you needed to go get Cam Ward or whoever that the absolute top of the market was, but I do wonder if
isn't it just a factor of the collateral damage that has come with the big picture, with you taking over a situation that was what it was? Is it not just something maybe as simple as it kind of just fell through the cracks because there's so much to be done?
Yes.
And you know, in the off season, we love following these quarterbacks that were in the portal that, man, maybe we'll get that guy, and it didn't happen. Maybe we'll get that guy. I mean, it's not like Hugh and those guys aren't complete, just elite at what they do. The collateral damage we're going to see maybe appear next in the secondary, and maybe appear after that on the offensive line. I mean, it's just hard to hem it all in and fix it all. And I loved how Hugh said, need the due time to get this fixed. And we live in a world where
nobody has any patience. You're absolutely right. And then, like,
microwave it.
Right.
Yeah.
And as we've said quite a few times this week, you also had so many indicators that were like, well, let's see. You don't know until you have all the other parts around. You add those receivers. You bring in another offensive lineman.
So
you add those things, and you feel like now you've got to give Peyton a fair shot. But then the first game that he goes out and plays against, you know, pretty good competition, he struggles. So it's understandable that you need to know about the other guy. But Peyton continues to, you know, he's continued to be outstanding in practice.
Well, listen, I appreciate you guys. I listen a lot, and I've never called in. I'd love it if you guys wouldn't mind me burning up a few minutes with you occasionally.
Oh, no, we'd really appreciate that. That's great stuff, Jay.
Top-notch stuff, Jay.
Well, I appreciate it, too, and I'll continue to listen. I'll be at the ball game tomorrow. War Eagle, and I really appreciate you guys' level-headedness and insight into things. I appreciate you a lot.
Well, thanks for the call, and yes, please don't be a stranger.
Yeah, thank you.
We will get to our final break of hour number
one. I don't know about that level-headedness and insight talk.
We don't instigate an awful lot. all right, let's get to our final break. Love for you to join us here on the Friday Drive.
Before every Auburn home game this season,
Wise, give us your thoughts on what you what you're looking forward to tomorrow now that we expect Hank Brown to be the starter. What are you thinking, Dan? I'm wondering, too. I mean, because Hank is known. We have heard Hugh Freeze, Kent Austin, and some players say that, man, he throws a beautiful deep ball.
Yeah. See, I thought one of the problems last week was regardless, and we talked about it with Justin Ferguson yesterday, regardless of who was playing quarterback, the lack of short and intermediate stuff that showcase. I mean, it's not these receivers aren't exciting just because they're deep threats. These receivers are exciting because they can make plays with the ball in their hands after the catch. And when you upgrade the level of talent at receiver, you don't want to just start shooting three-pointers. You don't want to only be taking deep shots. You want to also try to get some stuff in around the rim. And that's getting the ball at the line of scrimmage to these receivers, which probably didn't happen enough against Cal, and is a way to screens and draws are a way to back off a defense, slow down a pass rush, and neutralize and help out an offensive line. So I mean, I thought that even though Hank Brown's a gunslinger, I would really want him to know. The check down,
you can sling it without it having to be 40 yards downfield.
Sure, but he's got that ball's got to be out of his hands and preferably to somebody who's who's not totally blanketed.
Yeah, and like you guys were talking to, make it simple, make the game plan simple. I think I've heard that this week. They maybe had too much in, and you want him to be successful early, like you say, Dan. Get him some short pass. Get him a back out of the backfield. Run some screens. Run the ball, please. Run the football, and that's going
to
help you
too.
Just,
you need to avoid third and five.
You don't want to put him in
like
obvious passing situations.
Like then they just pin their ears
like
back.
The plague. And that probably, there probably wasn't enough consideration of avoiding third and long with. And I don't know if it was play calling or if it was. I mean, some of it, even if it's situations where, because I've heard people say, well, there were RPOs against Cal. Where Peyton should have handed the ball off instead of progressing to the pass element of the play. All right, they also could have just called a run play there, right? Like you also could have merely called a dive there, just taking that responsibility. So I would say just really, avoiding third and long and trying to not childproof it necessarily, but you do want to encourage Hank Brown to.
Well, it's different coaching a youngster in his first collegiate start who's a year removed from high school as opposed to somebody who's in his sixth year and has started I don't know how many ball games.
And we've heard both Bruce 40, Pearl probably. we've heard both Bruce Pearl, I think it is close to 40 college starts for Thorne. We've heard both Bruce Pearl and Hugh Freeze talk about point guards and quarterbacks and wanting to develop them early so that you don't have to uncoach bad habits and stuff that guys pick up after multiple years. That was one of the reasons Bruce wanted to stick with point guards out of high school instead of going to the portal for his point guards. I think there's some of that with Hugh Freeze. Maybe that's one of the arguments for not going and getting a veteran backup instead to challenge Peyton Thorne is a belief that with a Hank Brown or a Walker, you can develop them. You're getting in on the ground floor with a quarterback like that, and you can play a larger role in developing them into the player they are if you are developing them that early in their careers. We'll see. Big step for Hank Brown tomorrow as the red light goes on.
Oh, it is, and I mean we didn't know it, but I mean when we heard Hugh Freeze talking about simplifying, I thought that's as much for Hank or more for Hank than it is for Peyton. I mean, obviously you want to make things better for whoever your quarterback is, but I thought that makes a lot of sense if you're going to look at Hank. Now, again, as we said, I mean, it's being reported everywhere that Hank's expected to be the starter tomorrow. It'll be interesting. Auburn has gotten the ball to start each of the first two games. I would imagine with the struggles New Mexico's had that both teams tomorrow, whoever wins the toss is going to want the ball. I mean, that's just because New Mexico has been pretty good offensively. They've been good offensively. They've been bad defensively.
Yes.
All right, we're halfway done. Love for you to join us here on the Friday Drive. We're right back with hour number two.
At 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. We'd love for you to join in here in the second hour of the show, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can join us by calling the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and that number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you get your podcasts.
In case you haven't heard, multiple sites are reporting that Auburn is making a change at the starting quarterback spot for tomorrow's game against New Mexico. Hank Brown, the redshirt freshman from Nashville, will get his first collegiate start tomorrow as the Tigers host New Mexico 6:30 over at Jordan-Hare Stadium. We'd love your thoughts on that or anything in the world of sports.
It has made the ticker for ESPN.
Yeah, saw it on ESPN just before we came on.
They're saying Pete Thamel has a source has confirmed to Pete Thamel. The ESPN.com article says On3 was first to report the news. So I know there's different.
I'll give you. I believe J.G. Tate said a change could be coming.
Sure.
On3, Justin Hokanson said that his sources said that Hank Brown would start. And now everyone has sources that are confirming that Hank will get the start tomorrow.
And JG asked the question at the press conference Monday, you know, sort of flat out, you know, how seriously will you consider going with a different quarterback this Saturday against New Mexico State? And it seemed like at the press conference Monday, Hugh Freeze was leaning towards sticking with Peyton Thorne, did not want to speak in absolutes. And a couple days later, we learned that it's in fact going to be Hank Brown this Saturday.
Yeah, so we'd love your thoughts on that, as I said, or anything else. And let's go ahead and get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Yellowhammer is up first. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hello. Hey, afternoon. So I just want to talk about Auburn's last two games and the defenses they faced. And the first one, as you guys pointed out, they showed run stops, so we passed, and that worked out pretty good. And the second game, I didn't get to see enough of it. Were we looking at vanilla? Were we looking at slanted toward one or the other type of defense? Were we shifting and confusing the offensive line? I mean, I wanted to know what was going on in that area.
For the Auburn defense?
I was talking about the Cal defense, I think.
Okay.
I'm talking about
defense.
Their defense.
Okay.
What were they doing to be so successful? Cal was successful against our offense. 14 points is it. You know, that's pretty successful.
No, it seemed like Cal did a really good job of taking away different things that Auburn wanted to do and sort of banking on Auburn not doing what Cal was giving them. You know, Cal seemed to be giving up the middle of the field. Cal seemed to be giving up short passes in favor of, you know, trying to keep Peyton uncomfortable, trying to keep Peyton from being able to go to the second and third and fourth reads on some of these plays. They did a good job keeping up with Cam Coleman in deep coverage, so Peyton Thorne couldn't throw the deep ball a lot. And I think that Auburn probably looks at it and says, we could have done different things to better attack the Cal defense, but instead Auburn sort of played into Cal's hands and couldn't come up with 300 total yards.
What I thought...
Well, it played into their hands anyway.
Yeah, no kidding. What I thought the big problem was we didn't run the ball, and I still am frustrated with that.
Auburn's averaging better than 8 yards per rush this year,
yeah,
but they just haven't run it.
They didn't
a
run
lot.
It enough. And they played two high safeties. That, like Dan said, they didn't want to get beat over the top with the long ball, so they just kept everything in front of them. They tackled well, and we had 5 turnovers. So, and we have no turnovers on defense as of yet.
It's hard to beat anybody with 5 turnovers.
Oh, absolutely,
yes,
especially
sir.
If you're not getting any.
Okay. Well, I hope we learn something there. The next game should be an ability to proceed and learn, I hope.
Appreciate it, Yellowhammer. Good stuff.
Hope so.
Yeah, I look for us to come out, run the ball tomorrow, and play better, and get us some.
It will now. Let's be honest. If Auburn struggles offensively tomorrow, it's going to be very disappointing. I mean, granted, New Mexico's had an open date. They've had a week to prepare, but they can't go out and restock their roster. I mean, there's only so much they can do. I mean, it'll be interesting to see Auburn's game plan tomorrow, their philosophy. I would think they want to run the ball more. They want to establish the run. I think they also feel like Jason Caldwell was saying on Wednesday, they're going to have their 4 best run blockers on the offensive line out there.
Right.
So, I mean, so you would think that would lend itself more to running the ball. Plus, when you've got a young quarterback, you would like to take the pressure off
exactly.
him, I would imagine.
And give him plays that he's successful with. Like Dan said, the short passing game, hand the ball off, run the screen, run the draw, and then you'll have the opportunity to go deep when it's not expected, hopefully.
Now, I haven't seen the SEC's list of players. What I wonder how Cam Coleman is being listed. They were questionable is the word that was used for him the other day, along with Izavian Too Tall Miller. I still would be surprised if we see Cam tomorrow. Auburn's got plenty of other receivers that they can use, and I think it would be great for them to get the opportunity as well. I wonder how the young guys, the young receivers, feel about Hank. I mean, he's the guy he's been throwing with them an awful lot.
Yeah. I'm sure they're confident in all of them, to be honest with you. But like you said, yeah, get some of these other guys an opportunity also, especially if the young man's injured. You don't want him out there. In this game, you hate to say that, but we got to have him down the road.
So I believe that the SEC is only doing availabilities for conference games. I'm looking at the SEC injury report, and the only games that I see listed
that's probably the case
are LSU, South Carolina, A&M, Florida, and Georgia, Kentucky are the 3 games. So maybe that's the way they're handling it, is that for league games, both teams
that you have to make information available to other conference teams when you're playing.
Well, and that makes sense, because if New Mexico is under no obligation to provide an injury report,
why should Auburn?
Then why should Auburn? Yeah. And that's probably the way to handle it. But yeah, there are looking at the SEC report, you know, there's different you get various teams listing guys as out, questionable, probable. We'll deal with that for the first time next week when Auburn plays Arkansas.
It is homecoming as well tomorrow. I know Don, you were talking about it. So you came through downtown.
Yeah, right? And it said closing it down at 5, and I could tell. I said, "Uh-oh."
The homecoming parade is it?
Looks like they have a big stage set up too for some type of concert. I don't know, right in front of the main, I guess.
Speaking of concerts, Bill, tip off at Tumors coming back. How about that announcement earlier today? So we learned that they're bringing back the preseason basketball celebration downtown. The announcement that Thursday, October 17th, the event will be free and open to the public. A tip off at Tumors, built by Yellowwood. Country music singer songwriter Cole Swindell will perform live after on-court basketball festivities and autograph sessions with both Auburn's men's basketball team with head coach Bruce Pearl and their women's basketball team with head coach Johnny Harris. That's going to get started at 5:30. You know what, Bill? We probably should maybe be downtown that day. We should probably talk to some of our people. But yeah, they're getting started with that I guess all day shopping and dining.
What's
and
the then, date on that?
Thursday, the 17th of October.
All right,
is the is tip off at Toomer's, built by Yellowwood, with and I believe they're going to do. I don't know the exact language, but it's like you know, what's the entertainment district sort of rule for downtown?
Yeah, downtown.
Yeah, yeah, they're gonna be doing that. So so yeah, check out
open containers or
I believe yeah different and that's gonna be free and open to the public. They're gonna have some enhanced offerings with reserved packages and stuff like that. So check out auburntigers.com to find out more about all that stuff. But yeah, tip off at Toomer's coming back. This
yeah,
year,
cool.
Hopefully, weather cooperates. I know there was a year yeah. where a hurricane, like the one day we had hurricane-like conditions in Auburn, mm-hmm. that year was the day they were going to be setting up the stage for tip off of Toomer's, and they had to cancel it. That was a couple years ago. So hopefully things go off without a hitch, because it's a really cool event when they can pull it off.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love to get your reaction to the news. That Hank Brown will be starting for Auburn tomorrow. You wonder what the plan. Now I'm wondering what the plan is. Do you just go with Hank for an extended period? Because when we were thinking, well, you've got to get Hank in there, the thought was, well, you either swap series or go a couple of series, one then the other. There's no telling. It may just depend on how well Hank's doing tomorrow.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good point. Good question. I don't know. I think you can't jerk them out after one series, either one. And hopefully, like we said also, that he has a small enough game plan where he can deliver and come through.
Look, I would wonder if Hank struggles or if Hank does well tomorrow. Would they be interested in seeing what any of the other quarterbacks on the roster have to offer, Bill? Would this be an opportunity to get playing time for?
Well, you could. I mean, Walker could play in up to four games, yeah. and not redshirt. Holden's already redshirted, so sure. I mean,
yeah. I wonder what they would. I mean, there are four scholarship quarterbacks, and if they're willing to move down the line from one to two, it does. At least increase the likelihood somewhat that you could see the third or fourth guys at some point this year.
All right, so here's the – I mean, because I've heard some people say, yeah, Peyton can just watch the entire game tomorrow. I don't know that I would do that. I can't imagine – because people going, well, play Hank for a while, then Holden for a while, then Walker for a while, and Peyton can watch. That's sort of what Alabama did with South Florida last year, but I don't see this being – this isn't the same situation.
If you think – I mean, I would be intrigued by a plan that doesn't involve Peyton Thorne tomorrow. Like, if the thinking is Hank Brown's going to play the whole first half unless something unforeseen happens, and so you want Peyton ready, but the plan is for Hank Brown to play most of the game and Holden/Walker to go in for Hank.
Hey, the thing to remember.
I mean, the more reps you have for Hank, the more you can evaluate.
That's true.
Between Hank and Peyton Thorne, which one you feel like gives you a better shot against Arkansas.
Well, here's something else to keep in mind. You know, as much as we've talked about how Auburn's just going to slice and dice New Mexico, and the feeling has been, you know, Auburn can name the score. New Mexico was only down 3 to Arizona at half.
I mean, and that's so because Arizona kicked a field goal.
It is.
The half.
And they led Montana State by, what was it, 17 in the fourth quarter? So, I mean, it's not like, oh, you know, it's a given that Auburn will be, you know, able to just do whatever they want the entire game.
New Mexico. They're far more proven at the quarterback position.
Oh, you're not
kidding. Going into this game than Auburn is.
Well, now that Hank Brown's starting.
Yeah, but I would even say this season, you know, based on a couple of games, they were probably more proven this season than I mean, that guy's off to a better start.
He is. I'll definitely give you that.
Yeah, and that's something to watch out for. You know, what is how does Auburn's defense keep this New Mexico offense in check and keep the focus on the Auburn offense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're scoring some points. They're moving the ball.
Yeah.
All right. 334-321-1390. I think we can get to a call before we get to our first break.
Got our buddy Brett hanging on.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. I'm agreeing with you. Auburn needs to forget about all this, well, we need to work on the passing game. We need to work on the running game. Auburn needs to win the game. Win the game. I mean, we've seen enough of the Georgia State, Mercer, and all that stuff. So we know this team isn't good enough to just run out there. Okay, yeah, it's done. And if Auburn gets up by 27, then you can start working on stuff. But this stuff about, hey, Auburn, even last week, folks were talking about Auburn needs to do this. But Auburn just needs to win the game. They need to win the game. I mean, my God, we had a winning season the last three.
Right. You're absolutely right. That's what the game plan should be to win the game. And if you can get up, if you can get to a point where the game is under control, then you're right. Then you can see what else you can work on.
Yeah, and as long as he's playing good, Hugh Freeze isn't gonna listen to me, but I think he should play. Brown should play the first three quarters.
Or
they should play him a lot.
I wouldn't have a problem. I wouldn't have a problem with him playing until you've got the game under control, or you feel like you've got to make a change.
Yeah. Well, even if you got it under control, I mean, if it's 38-3 at the midway point of the third quarter, I say keep him in. I mean, if he's going to be the starter, he needs to play.
That makes sense. Right, yeah. I mean, especially when you look at the way that Hugh has handled his starter generally is in the ball game until the fourth quarter. If the game's under control, it's been like mid fourth quarter before he would bring in a backup.
Yeah. All right, y'all have a great day.
All right, Brett. Yeah, some very good points. Some interesting thoughts. I mean, and that's right. I mean, you don't make a change just because, well, everybody's bitching and right. We're going to make them happy for one game and then I'm going to go back.
Right.
If you're making a change, if you go, I mean, once you make the decision to make a change, it's with the expectation that this could be a permanent change.
What would not have been fair, and we don't know how this is going to play out, but what would have been totally unfair to me would be if you use this game to try to improve and fix Peyton Thorne, and you give Peyton Thorne most of the first three quarters of this game, and then when Peyton Thorne struggles early against Arkansas, you go to Hank Brown on the second or third drive, having never seen him
right. Early
in a football game with first-team reps. If Hank Brown is the guy who goes in when you're unsatisfied with Peyton Thorne's performance, then he – I mean, we've been saying all week, he needed to play early against New Mexico.
Well, look,
how much and when is up for debate, but I think it was imperative that Hank Brown got some first-team reps. So the first time Hank Brown plays with the first team in a game, it's not down 14 in the second quarter against Oklahoma or against Arkansas. You want him to have played with these starters in a game before that.
Don't you agree that Hank Brown starting this ball game would give you the thought that he's expected to be starting in the next ball game?
I would think so. Generally speaking, when you're starting a guy,
yeah. I mean, unless the game's seven days later. The only reason that wouldn't be the case is if your starter was injured.
Right, which we don't believe is an injury-related thing with Peyton Thorne. We believe this is a performance-related
thing
going to Hank Brown instead of Peyton Thorne. And yeah, I think that this is at the very least, this game gives you the chance to evaluate Hank Brown because you don't have to make your decision today as to who your starting quarterback is going to be against Arkansas in 8 days. You have the benefit of seeing how tomorrow goes before you make that call. But the more data you have about Hank Brown, if you see Peyton Thorne for three quarters tomorrow, what kind of decision can you make about Peyton Thorne or Hank Brown? You don't have enough information about Hank Brown, and this seems like a great opportunity to at the very look. Maybe there's been a changing of the guard. Maybe we have a new quarterback for the rest of the season at Auburn.
I have to assume that right now that's the thought.
Yes,
you just don't make a change if you're planning on going back.
Right, and so now it's a matter of seeing how it goes with Hank Brown and what they can he hold on to it and what does the offense look like with him in the game?
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Come on in and join us 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
I'm Wes Allen, Secretary of State. In Alabama, election integrity.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, taking your calls, questions, comments about anything going on in the world of sports. Big high school football game tonight.
Ooh,
down
big
at Enterprise.
One. Tough place to play.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I mean, that
first road trip.
Enterprise, as is Auburn, ranked in the top five in 7A. They have multiple players headed to FBS schools, including Eric Winters, the outstanding safety who, I mean, man, he's as big as some Auburn linebackers in the past few years, but he can really run.
So,
Enterprise and Auburn tonight, 6:30 airtime, 7 o'clock kick over on Wings 94.3. Meanwhile, Lee Scott hosting Beulah tonight, and that's same time over on AU 100.
Yeah, high school football action tonight. You can catch it on the Auburn Network family of stations. Wings 94.3 will have Auburn and New Mexico tomorrow. You were saying the pregame's getting started 5 hours, five and a half?
Yeah, 5 hours before the game is game day on Wings at 1:30. And then 3:30, the Auburn Network.
Andy and the Tailgate Show, that's going live. They'll have a fun one tomorrow as well. You're not going to want to miss that.
Yeah, hopefully the weather cooperates tomorrow. I mean, it's pretty decent chance of rain tonight.
I think it's going to be pretty gnarly all weekend, isn't it?
That's sort of the thing.
Either rain or the threat of rain.
I asked Alexa a little earlier today, and she told me it was thunderstorms through Sunday.
Wow.
So,
Good college games tonight.
We're still getting sort of the outer bands of that.
Yeah,
Francine. Yeah, I mean, it's. I would hope that. I mean, with the football and the homecoming.
You're familiar with the ZZ Top song,
Francine?
Uh-huh.
I've heard. Yeah, it's not one of the.
It wasn't a big hit.
I was gonna say
it was the little band that I was in. For some reason, we did that.
I'm more familiar with other ZZ Top songs, but I mean, no, but no, they have a song in Francine.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Hopefully the weather cooperates. It feels like it's gonna be threatening all weekend, even if it's even if it's not actually raining.
Yes. I mean, my weather says 100% chance of rain. So that's a pretty good chance.
Yeah, we got like talking earlier, Dan and I have a couple of decent college games tonight.
Yeah, Arizona, Kansas State should be
should be
a fun one.
That's
Arizona
7 o'clock on Fox.
Explosive Arizona offense. They put up 61 points on Auburn's opponent, New Mexico.
Yeah.
In a game earlier this season. They've got a Fafita is just a. I mean, he is a sensation at quarterback.
I still am not a fan of Friday night college games or pro games. I think it's just a shame that it hurts our high schools.
I guess maybe in some of the ones that are playing, maybe high school football isn't that big a deal. Maybe in some of those states,
yeah.
I don't know.
But you know, the TV factor.
No kidding.
I got a chance to go see a local high school. Oh no, I'm going to stay home and flip stations and watch pro and college. I just don't like it.
It's just every night of the week being turned over to football.
Oh, yeah.
That's
when
really
does
what
it
it's
start?
About.
The Tuesday Wednesdays. That's like in October, right?
Yeah, we'll get Mac Tuesday and Wednesday action.
And you know, being at Western, we had to play one of those Tuesday night games, and that is a weird situation.
There's a I believe Troy goes to Mobile on a Tuesday or Wednesday night. There's a lot of midweek Sun Belt action.
They got a long trip to Idaho.
Troy?
I think one of those.
I think it's Iowa.
Oh man.
Ooh.
Yeah, Trojans are going up to take on Ferentz and the gang there.
Yeah. Oh my lord.
Tough start to the season.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as long a trip as Idaho, but it's probably.
I knew it was an I.
It's probably a little more daunting.
Yeah.
Because
you can't get to Moscow, Idaho. I've been there. Woo.
Fly
into Lewiston.
Yeah, we talked. Well, I'll tell you what we can do here in a couple minutes. We can look at some of the ball games that we were talking to Barrett and some other folks about because there are some interesting ones. It's a weekend where there aren't just some glam. I mean, there's not some wow games.
No, Bama really struggled for a lot of that South Florida game. I don't know.
Wisconsin though, does it just didn't look like
no.
I
don't think Wisconsin has the horses to win that game. But I also wonder if Bama is just going to go on the road and
they can't
stomp
turn
a team,
the ball over a lot or have penalties. Right. That's the thing. They've been extremely penalty prone.
Coach, there was a call. There was a call late in that Bama South Florida game that I just absolutely hated. And I thought South Florida had done a really good job putting the pressure on Bama, keeping that game close. But you're down eight at the Bama goal line.
Oh, a decision, you
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, yeah. You're down eight at the Bama goal line with 5 minutes left, and it's fourth down. You can't kick a field goal and try to get a stop. Like I mean, not on the road with a
team against Alabama.
No,
that's like going for two. A lot of people do that. You know, they go for two when they're the underdog, and you have a chance to upset somebody like that.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, that's one where you needed to roll
on
the dice.
Paper, all that's good, but not in those situations like you're talking.
No, and then Bama, you know, gets the so he kicks a field goal and make it a 5-point game. Touchdown, yes, turnover.
Touchdown, turnover, touchdown, touchdown. Yeah,
right. I mean, it's 21 nothing
21
run.
Points in the last 4 minutes.
And the game looks like a blowout when people look at the score. But the game, that game was not a blowout. Bama had to make some plays to pull themselves.
That's 2 years in a row they've struggled with that team.
And maybe the fact that they're playing Wisconsin at Wisconsin a week later played some role in a lackluster performance, but it felt like the offensive line was just trouble. They were having trouble getting on the same page. They were making personnel changes. They're dealing with Caden Proctor not being in uniform right now. I don't know if he's going to play against Wisconsin. He was not in uniform for the South Florida game this past. I mean, I think that's another one. I would think if there are some SEC games that are between Georgia, Kentucky, Bama, Wisconsin, and I guess you could lump Boston College, Missouri.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see that one.
Yeah, the Kentucky Georgia feels like, you know,
like a blowout. Of course, I felt like the Kentucky South Carolina game was going to be a blowout last week, and yeah, it was, but not the complete opposite of what I thought.
No,
yeah.
but I feel like a couple of those could
be. You know what you've got in Georgia.
It would be one of those. There's my prediction between. So those are three games with 14 or more on the point spread. One of those is going to be razor thin. Like there's going to be you're going to get a close game. You're going to get a real close fourth quarter.
I've sort of with you, and we were talking with Barrett about this. I'm sort
Boston
of
College?
More in the Boston College, yeah. Missouri being one that could be. And again, that's another 11 o'clock game.
He made some puzzling, but
Missouri seems to not mind that. They feel more like a Big Ten school. So I mean, maybe they don't mind those.
Yeah, that's probably true. You know.
He made some puzzling decisions with like the Houston Texans and people like have dispute. I think Bill O'Brien knows what he's doing as a college football coach.
Yeah.
Like he's. I mean that's one of the tougher situations anybody's ever stepped into. What he got at Penn State, about a decade ago, and he had them. They were far better than they should have been, considering everything. You know that's how he got that NFL job, and. I think he's done he's got Boston College punching above their weight pretty early on here, and I wonder if that continues tomorrow. Now Missouri's got an explosive offense. Like they could, you know, it could be Missouri can put the pressure on real early and suddenly Boston College
thus far, and again it hasn't been against the toughest competition of the world. I mean it's Murray State and Buffalo. Their defense has been great thus far. But I mean we'll find out. I mean they're gonna be playing a much
Tennessee have?
Tennessee's got
Tennessee Tech or something like that.
Kent State's in the house
Saturday night.
I thought they looked really good last week.
Yeah, they did at NC State. At Charlotte.
That shocked me too. That score.
Tennessee's in Norman next Saturday. That's
homecoming.
Tennessee and Oklahoma playing.
That'll be
next
wild.
Week. That's it. I mean. Wake Forest hosting Ole Miss. I really want to see Ole Miss when the competition gets a little bit tougher.
Ole Miss is going to Wake Forest.
Ole Miss a three touchdown favorite. Maybe you lump that one in there with the games where don't be surprised if
I'll be surprised too.
Ole Miss. Listen to the schedule though. I mean they got Wake Forest on the road.
Yeah.
Then they're hosting Georgia Southern next week. They open conference play on the 28th with Kentucky.
At home?
Yeah. And then they go to South Carolina. Mm. And then they go to Baton Rouge on the 12th. I mean, that's an Ole Miss team that should be 6-0 and in the top five when they go to Baton Rouge in the middle of October. Oklahoma, Arkansas, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi State, the rest of the Ole Miss schedule. I mean, folks look at this like one of the better Ole Miss teams ever, Bill.
Yeah.
You're right.
And, I mean, they got a chance to we'll see how much they're challenged tomorrow by Wake Forest, but they are – I mean, it's 128-3 through two through two games for Ole Miss against Furman and Middle Tennessee State. Like, yeah. they have just absolutely obliterated the teams that have been in front of them so far.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We take a closer look at some of these ball games. Love to get your thoughts on those. And, of course, the Auburn-New Mexico game with Hank Brown getting the start at quarterback as we head into the final half hour here on the Friday Drive. Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Friday. And let's get right back to the drive hotline. And Kyle is up next. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, guys. I wanted to weigh in on I know we've been doing a lot of quarterback talk. And when the news broke, I am pretty happy to see what Hank's going to offer tomorrow. It kind of gives us something to, look forward to. It's kind of, I don't know, like I've supported Peyton, but I just, every time you get your hopes up a little bit, it seems like he, I don't know, it's just seems like there's just not too much light there. I really don't know where to mentally be with him, but I wanted to weigh in on more so the defense. And Bill, you touched base on it earlier this week. In the second half, you know, they made the necessary adjustments there. I thought they played a lot better, but the first half was scary bad. I mean, secondary, up front, where do you think we'll be? And, I mean, how much do you think we need to improve defensively just to get to 7-5, like you all mentioned? And because that was scary bad to me. And, the pressure, no pressure. But the secondary, I'm really, really – I'm just as concerned about the secondary right now as I am with quarterback play because, I mean, there was just too much space there. And, I mean, it was just – Cal could have did what they wanted in the first half of that game.
Well, they
but
did.
Like you said, Bill.
Yeah, they really
they got
did.
Better. But where do you think – honestly, where do you think where do you think you think we'll make those improvements? And where do you think we're going to be, even beyond here, that they can really make the necessary adjustments to get to 7-5, like I said, because like it wasn't good.
So, I think defensively that Auburn, they're still looking and trying to develop some guys back there in the secondary. But I think they've got the talent, and I think DJ Durkin is an outstanding defensive coordinator. I think the plan sort of against Cal was, look, here's a young quarterback coming in. We're going to see if we're not going to play too tight because we don't want to give up any big plays. But we'll see if we can't get after him and if he makes some mistakes. He did not make mistakes. I thought he played so much better than you would expect a young quarterback going on the road into an environment the way he did.
I was more disturbed by the plays where the Cal quarterback would find somebody very open. You know, there were plays. He was getting into some tight coverage, too.
Yeah, but Auburn was giving – they were given too much of a cushion underneath. They tightened that up in the second half. Mm-hmm. They hit him a lot more – in the second half,
that starts towards the end of the first.
It did because
the two Keldrick sacks I think are on one of the last
back to back late in the first.
That,
in the
yeah, that, that, that that's one of the last Cal drives of the first half. And you're right, that pressure stayed and they went seemingly went to Kite on the outside mm-hmm. instead of Keontae, which you know, I'm
going to be really interested in that.
I am too.
As well,
I'm interested to see how because that feels like an opportunity for Antonio Kite to maybe hold on to mm-hmm. some playing time for a while.
And we didn't see much of J.C. Hart at all last week. I would expect.
I don't believe we saw any J.C. Hart.
Not in the defense.
Right.
I think he was in there maybe on special teams, but yeah, I think we need to see more of him too.
And one more question, and then I'll let y'all go. You think we're going to have you think we'll have a pretty good plan running attack tomorrow? I think we're going to see the ball on the ground a lot more. even, you know, even if
I hope
there's
you don't see
a rotation
the ball on the ground. I hope you see Auburn sticking to the ground more. I believe so. I think Hughes talked about that a little bit too.
I appreciate it, guys.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Kyle. I mean, you know, Hugh Freeze talked about the fact that Auburn averaged 7 yards a rush against Cal, but didn't run it much. And I think you could feel the frustration from him a little bit in there. And Dan, I'm with you on some of it. Then call a run.
Right.
Call it a run. And if they've got 8-plus guys in the box, then you can check out of it.
Right.
But just call a run instead of, all right, just let's get back to the – six or less, it's this, seven
and
or
I
more.
Do, I do wonder how much tomorrow Hank Brown's going to see situations where the defense is overloaded against the run.
I think you're going to see that.
Yeah.
He'll probably see that a lot tomorrow.
I would think you need, as much as you have the goal of wanting to run the ball more, but with a backup quarterback or with a new quarterback in the game, the defense is probably going to assume that you want to run the ball more.
I wonder how much Hank has practiced with the helmet com. I mean, I would imagine a good bit this week, I don't know until this week how much time he had practiced with that.
I mean, I would think the quarterbacks, you know, if you want to be even in consideration for playing time, I would think that you need to be pretty well-versed in what's expected, you know, on the green dot.
That's another interesting thing that you don't think about or never had to think about when I was coaching.
That's a new thing this year.
I'll tell you what. And the clock management. Mm-hmm. You've seen that in some games already, that these so-called lesser talented teams are taking advantage of that clock. You know,
the clock continuing to run.
And that's smart on their part.
That's right. Limiting possessions for the other team.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. So some good points, Kyle. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. And as we were saying a while ago, look, this move would tell you that the plan would be that Hank Brown would continue to be your starter after this. If things go well. If things don't go well, then who knows?
Right.
And again, New Mexico has struggled defensively, but they have been able to be in both of their ball games they have played. So don't just expect this to be I'll tell you what, like Calder said a little while ago, if it's 38-3 late in the third quarter, man, the Auburn defense has played a tremendous ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely, because this is a New Mexico team. I mean, Arizona is in the top 20. They have the longest bowl subdivision winning streak of anyone right now. After Michigan lost to Texas over the weekend, Arizona now has, I believe, nine or ten game win streak for Arizona, longest one in the country. People think they could. I think a win tonight in Manhattan strengthens their case that they're one of the better teams and a genuine playoff contender in the Big 12. And New Mexico moved the football against that same Arizona team for
New Mexico
two
had
quarters.
Almost 500 yards. Almost 500 yards against Arizona.
So, it's obviously because of the circumstances around last week, so much focus on Auburn's offense and Auburn's quarterback. It's a big game for the Auburn defense tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
Got some strange games tomorrow too, guys, like the old – because of the new scheduling. Oregon State playing already.
See, you know what? I like that
Oregon State, but it's a non-conference.
This is when – how about this? this is the week that games like Florida State and Georgia Tech and Clemson, South Carolina should be played, and October and November should be for conference games.
Yeah.
That's sort of how I
don't have a problem with that.
The reason Auburn's playing ULM in the middle of November is because you have that – extra at a conference game for teams that have always played that rivalry game at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that rivalry game being this week. I would think it'd be awesome if Florida State was tomorrow or Clemson, South Carolina.
And then you got the Apple Cup.
Yeah, Washington State's tomorrow as well.
Which has always been both these games Thanksgiving.
Usually,
same as the Iron Bowl.
Iowa and Iowa State play early in the season.
Yeah,
like I think that'd be a cool thing to move.
They played, last week?
That's right. Yeah. I'd get that extra out of conference game out of October, November, and encourage teams to play these rivalries.
That's interesting.
I mean, you could open the season with Georgia Tech and Florida State.
We haven't mentioned Notre Dame's going to Purdue, which won't be easy.
No, it won't. And, boy,
and Purdue
feelings have sure changed on Notre Dame in a week, haven't they?
Man, I tell you. Penthouse to the outhouse?
Yeah.
No question. All right, we'll get to our final break. We'll hit some of those ball games and more when we come back. Still time for you to join in if you'd like. 334-321-1390.
It has nothing to do with what we were talking about, Bill, but Jackson Dart is 47 of 54 this year for 800 yards.
Unbelievable.
Like it's that is a buzzsaw. Mm-hmm. It, you know, at least offensively, and granted they haven't really played anybody yet, but that's
Furman in Middle Tennessee.
I know.
I
know you don't want to go too far, but
when you're really talented, you're playing those kind of teams. Yeah, you ought to put up video game numbers. It'll be a little while for Ole Miss.
They should not have a loss when LSU when they go to Baton Rouge.
Well, they've got to go to Columbia. We'll find out.
That's right.
If South Carolina beats LSU tomorrow, then that trip to Columbia the week before they go to Baton Rouge might be interesting. Yeah. But yeah, that's the middle of October. No, it's October 5th.
That's an okay. I mean, they have an okay draw. I mean, Ole Miss.
They've got a great draw.
Okay draw and one of the best offenses in the country.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
This is Christian Griffin, voice of the Lee Scott Warriors.
To or email the drive at espnau.com.
Final segment of the Friday Drive with Bill, Dan, and Coach Don Dunn. We were just looking at a couple of the ball games, and I noticed there are a lot of interesting games early on. I mean, you've got the Alabama-Wisconsin games at 11, LSU-South Carolina's at 11. How about Memphis at Florida State?
Mm-hmm.
If the Noles were to lose to Mike Norvell's former school, we were thinking entering the season, those other two big schools in Florida were the ones where the coach is on a hot seat. But Mike Norvell loses to Memphis, and that seat isn't just warm.
I mean, it would probably take a remarkable reversal of fortune for Mike Norvell not to be the head coach like after this season. But you lose
to Memphis, and you're on your way to a remarkable turn of fortune.
If he survives, you know, he's going to be under an incredible amount of pressure next year to turn things around. So I mean, with Florida State, they seem to.
Were they preseason?
They were in the top 10.
They were a top 10 team. They lose tomorrow. They're 0-3.
But they seem to have gone 0-4, gambling on quarterback, receiver, offensive line, and defensive line. Between what did you want to go out of the portal to go get, and what did you want to stay internal and sort of develop? You know, it's a portal quarterback, internal options. It's portal quarterback and portal defensive line. Internal options at receiver and offensive line, and they may have gone 0-4 mm-hmm. with those decisions, and that's a long season. When you're no better than Georgia Tech and Boston College at the line of scrimmage.
They weren't. And college football has changed. College sports have changed an awful lot, but we're not to the point where you can make trades yet. So, I mean. Don't laugh, Dodd.
I know.
You never know.
It's coming.
Trade some draft picks.
Yeah. How about West Virginia at Pitt?
That is a serious rivalry. Yeah.
Game that should be played every year no matter what. Yes. West Virginia and Pitt.
Well, they call it the backyard brawl.
That's the backyard brawl, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
former Big East rivalry game.
Yep.
When those two teams were in that league together.
I like
Neil Brown. Want to see it work at
West
Virginia.
Good man. I've worked with Neil, like you know, a great guy, great coach. I want him to do well too.
Yeah, what time is that one?
2:30, I think.
Okay, so that's a mid afternoon.
Yeah,
because I was looking at that oddball time for Boston College and Missouri's 11:45 on the SEC network.
Who comes up?
That's the kind of game where you would expect it would be Vandy and some team you've never heard of.
Yeah.
But it's a ranked matchup. It's a top 25 matchup.
Wasn't a top 25 matchup.
Missouri was going to be.
2 weeks ago.
Missouri was going to be a ranked team.
But I don't think anybody had this as both teams in the top 25 2 weeks ago, and that's probably why.
The SEC network's got to be really excited. They've got a game like that at 11:45.
I mean, they've got LSU South Carolina on ABC.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning. That's the early game on network TV.
I'll tell you another ball game. We haven't mentioned much at all that involves an SEC team is Oklahoma hosting Tulane.
Yeah.
Tulane.
2:30 game on ESPN
is a team that. You know, the last few years, and I think John Summerall will keep that going. I mean, that's not a team you can just overlook.
Right. They've done a great
Oklahoma,
job.
Oklahoma struggled last week with Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure they're looking ahead to next week when Tennessee comes in. But that's that could be a good spot for Tulane.
Yeah.
Tulane has won 24 of their last 30 games. Tulane outgained Kansas State in the loss earlier this season. Brent Venables spent most of his opening statement at the press conference this week talking about the different reasons Tulane can beat Oklahoma. Like it will not be an ambush if Tulane goes in there. Like he understands he is playing one of the top five mid-major programs of the last few years.
So some interesting games tomorrow, and I'm sure there will be some upsets tomorrow as well.
Every week.
Final thoughts on from either one of you guys on what to expect tomorrow? We only got 20 seconds. Looking forward to it. I think there'll be a lot of folks there that may not have been planning on going to the game. Don't forget, game day on Wings starts at 1:30. We're back with you on Monday at 4 o'clock. Brian Matthews joins us. We're out of time here on this Friday. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.